Our Father in heaven, our Creator, our ruler, thank you, Father, for this feast. What a tremendous feast you've given us here at Oceanside. We've had beautiful weather. We've had fellowship with one another, and we've gotten to know our family better and know ourselves better. So today, Father, we ask you to guide and direct those that are speaking to us as you inspire them to give us the messages that we need to continue to grow and develop in your way of life and be able to enter into your kingdom, which we've heard so much about already at this feast. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and now we are looking to you to continue to guide us. And we ask all this, thank you, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, brethren, we have two split sermons today. And the first one, at this time, we have Mr. Jerry Schellenberger. He is an elder serving in the Columbus, Ohio congregation.
Good morning, everyone. Are we having a good time? I would certainly hope so. This is just a fantastic feast site here in Oceanside. We're privileged to be here with my wife, my three sons, our wonderful daughter-in-law, our and her family, some friends from the Carolinas, and about 42 other people that are in our condo. It just seems that way with one bedroom. Anyway, it is a privilege to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles, sharing the future with God's kingdom, about God's kingdom. It's wonderful. You know, on the first day, we've been privileged to have young people sitting behind us as they're over there now. And it's amazing when the song service starts, you know, we're singing out of the hymns and they're look like they were texting, but they have all the songs on an app on their phone. And I thought it was kind of cool. That's why I tried that. I wanted to try that with my phone. And then we were singing that song, you know, the Like a Deer, and it said the Heart's Desire. But my phone kept coming up, go to Dairy Queen. So I am using the hymnal again. A story is told of two birds that soared far above a beautiful national park. They flew the same path, at the same altitude, at the same speed. The eagle returned to tell all about the beautiful waterfalls and the streams of trout, breathtaking landscapes of colorful fields and snow-capped mountains, and herds of wild animals roaming free. All who listened to the eagle were spellbound in amazement. Until the vulture spoke up with his report. He hadn't seen much of anything except two dead carcasses near the road and some trash on the banks of a stream. The eagle had vision. The vulture did not. Today, I want to talk about vision as we celebrate this family day. Right now, we are here at the Feast of Tabernacles 2014. Are we seeing the beauty? Are we seeing the joy of the feast? Are we taking in the breathtaking messages that we have heard? Well, until now. Are we getting a glimpse into our wonderful future? The beautiful, wonderful kingdom of God that God has in store for us. Do we have a vision of the kingdom? Or are we seeing dead carcasses near the road? Dictionary.com defines vision as, one, the act or power of sensing with the eyes, sight. Number two, the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. And I want to focus on the second definition today, the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. On this family day, I want to talk to all of us, obviously, because we're all young, but I really want to focus on our young people today. Because I believe vision is very important to your growth in the Church of God. I also want to remind our not so young that vision is still important. God has given us the holy days, as we've heard and we've experienced, and they picture his marvelous path for God and for the church and for all mankind. These fall holy days that we're celebrating look into the future. They look into what God has in store for us. They give us a window into the kingdom of God. We picture a future where Jesus Christ has returned to the earth. We picture a future where Satan is bound. He's gone. He's removed from doing his evil. We picture the millennium and the restoration of God's government. And we picture the kingdom of God where all people, all nations are going to learn this way of life. And they're going to live in real peace and real joy. You know, one of my favorite songs is from a group called Mercy Me. And I will have mercy on you by not singing it. But the lyrics have so much meaning for the Feast of Tabernacles. I do want to read them. Some of them are, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing at all? I can only imagine. Can we imagine the return of Jesus Christ? Can we imagine the wonderful future for all of us? God has given us a glimpse, a look into the future of what he has in store for us. He has given us a vision of the future. We need to capture that vision and hold on to it. Please turn with me to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1-4. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. We see here that God gave Abraham a glimpse of the future. He gave him a promise. And it was important for Abraham to know what was in store for him as he left his family. And as we could read the rest of Abraham's story, we know that he kept that vision. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's go down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham saw what God had in store for him. He was assured of them. He believed them. He had complete confidence that they would come about as God had told him. He embraced them. Verses 14 to 16. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham knew that God had prepared a wonderful future for him. Abraham caught that vision. Abraham held on to that vision. And we could read many other examples through Hebrews 11 of others that caught that vision, that held on to that vision. They held on to the vision through their faith. And we know, we know that God has plans for us as well. Many of us have been around, and we heard this earlier in the feast, many of us have been around a long time, and remember those famous words that we used to hear at the feast? Why are we here? I think Mr. Taylor mentioned that yesterday. Why are we here? We would then be given the meaning of the holy days and why we should be celebrating them. Sometimes we would hear, brethren, you're not getting it. And I would sit there as a young boy and as a teenager with 10,000 or so people at a feast site, and I would hear this, and I didn't understand what we were not getting. Why aren't we getting this? We were sitting there listening, hearing. We were keeping the feast. We were having a great time. We came to services every day. Maybe as a teenager, almost every day. And in the early years, we came to services twice a day. What were we not getting? The next year, we would go back. There'd be 10, 12,000 people. We would hear, why are we here? And I would think, well, didn't we discuss that last year? Why are we here? Why are we here? I grew up in the church, and I'm thrilled that I grew up in the church. You know, we had a nice-sized teen group growing up. I grew up in the Elkhart, Indiana church, if anybody's there. We had, between my years of 13 to 19-ish, we had about 100, I counted, about 101 teenagers. I may have missed a few. But I counted about 101 teenagers that kept the feast every year. Went to the feast, enjoyed the feast, had a wonderful time. But out of these 101 young people, 101 teens that went to the Feast of Tabernacles, they heard about the future, they heard about the kingdom, they heard about the return of Jesus Christ, they heard about coming out of the world, they went to teen dances, they fellowshipped, they ate at fine restaurants, enjoyed the activities of wherever we were. Only five that I know of, and I'm pretty confident, five keep the Feast of Tabernacles today. Five. And I know there's a multitude of reasons, and I'm not judging people. I do judge people, but I'm not, right now I'm not judging people. But they stop attending because of family reasons or whatever. But I know, and I had friends, some of them quit coming when their families kept going. I can't go to the feast this year. I have too much homework. I can't do this because of that, or can't do this. Somewhere between the end of the Feast of Tabernacles and the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles the next year, they made a decision in their minds, I'm not going back. I don't want that anymore. I'm not going to attend the Feast of Tabernacles anymore. I don't want to hear about God's kingdom. I like the world. I believe they let that vision go. I believe they lost track of that vision. They made a decision to turn off that vision. I really believe that if you clearly see the vision of the kingdom of God, of the future, that if you get it, you will want to be here every year. You want to experience the Feast of Tabernacles every year. You will yearn for God's kingdom. You will desire to follow Jesus Christ and be an active part of his church. Please turn with me quickly to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 13. This is a parable of the sower. The sower is planting seeds, the word of God, the truth, and the seeds fall onto the ground to various people who react to the word of God in different ways. And I'm talking again right now to you young people. You young people that those words of God are coming to you. Let's start in verse 13. Mark 4. It would help if I were there. Mark 4, verse 13. And he said to them, this is the words of Jesus, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the words by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulations or persecutions arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for things. Let me go back and read this. And the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is what I'm afraid happens to some of our young people. And it happens to some of us old people as well. The desires of this world, the desires for riches, for fame, the desires to be accepted in the community, accepted at school, desire to be liked on Facebook. Whoops, probably stepping on a few toes. But sometimes we let those desires take over us. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is where we should be. All of us should be here. We hear the word, we accept the word, and we bear fruit. What we have is awesome. What God has given each one of us is precious. What God has in store for you and I, you young people here today, what God has in store for you is better than any dream you could have. 1 Corinthians 2:9, you don't have to turn there. Here Paul is quoting the prophet Isaiah. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Do we believe that? Do you believe that? When you read those scriptures, young people, do you take that in and say, God is talking to me? Because he is. Do you see your future? Do you see our future? During the Feast of Tabernacles, we're getting a glimpse, a peek, into what God has in store for each one of us. We're hearing about the new world, a new world that is coming. This is why we are here. This is why we do what we do. We see that it's not just about us. We've heard that as well. It's not just about us. We're not here just to be saved. We're here to help and to bring light to the world, into a new world, into a better world. What we are seeing and hearing is a future for all human beings. God has given you, God has given us the chance to see it now if you want it. You have to catch that vision. You have to believe that what God has in store for his church, for his church, it's you that he's talking to. He's including you, and you have to believe that. You know, when I was young and I attended the Feast of Tabernacles, I remember leaving the feast sites and thinking about what I heard, the stories of the world tomorrow, the stories of the millennium, the stories of the return of Jesus Christ, and I believed them. I got that vision. I'm not saying I was perfect. Anybody knows me back then knows I was not. But you know, I caught that vision. I held on to that vision. You know, that was 40 years ago. 40 plus years ago, let's be honest. But you know, I still believe those same scriptures today. I believe them more today. I've held on to that vision. Turn with me to Isaiah 65, please. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17. We've read this. We may read it again during this feast. 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. I believed these verses as they were read every year. And again, I believe them today. And I never. We could turn to that scripture every day during this feast, and I never get tired of hearing that. Let's get on and read verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I believed this verse. I visualized this verse in my head. And as a young boy, I loved the thought of playing with a lion, wrestling with a bear. Never got into the snake thing, but that's just me. But I enjoyed thinking about that. You know, when we look at this picture, I'm going to thank Mr. Horchak, this is his backyard. With the lion and the lamb. I mean, don't you just want to get out there and play with them? Not now. But to have that change. You know, we like to watch Discover Channel, and it's amazing how violent the animal world is. And wouldn't it be nice to see they discover that they're really nice and they're playing together, and what a world that would be, and have little children playing with those animals. You know, there are so many others scriptures and verses that we've read this feast and we will read. They were written down a long time ago, but they are meant for you and I today. And again, young people. I'm going to say this, I like to quote Mr. Weber. He hadn't done it this year, but, you know, can we talk? Young people. Wait, sorry. Now can we talk? But I can't see, so I'm going to put these back on. Listen to the messages at the feast this year. Listen and write down the scriptures. Go over them with your friends. Talk about them when you're on the beach, when you're playing miniature golf tonight. Talk about what you're hearing. Learn from them. We want you to catch that vision. I don't think there's one adult in here that doesn't want that. We want you young people to catch the vision. We want you to be here next year and the year after. Because what we're talking about means, I mean, you are part of that. You're part of that world. We want you to catch that vision now. A couple years ago at the summer camps, the theme was Ecclesiastes 12, 1-5. Which was, remember your creator. I'm going to read that to you, the first five verses. So remember your creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, when you start losing your teeth and you can't chew food, that's what it's saying there, and those looking, and when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, your eyes are growing dim, when the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights, when you're older and you're afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. That's fitting today as we think about this. Young people, that's telling us, and this is from Solomon, young people, get it. He's saying, please get it now before you're old and gray. We don't want to wait for that. We don't want to go out and experience the world. The world will eat you up. And I know we have people that have gone out and they come back, and that's wonderful, and we are going to embrace them. We want to embrace them. But young people, some people come back with scars, hurts, and pains that they have to live with. You can come back and be cleaned up, but you may come back with scars. Let's get on to verse 8, where it says, vanity of vanity, says the teacher. Everything is vanity. Everything is meaningless. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, but he realized the world brought him nothing. God brings you everything. You all have so much to offer the church. I'm amazed at our young people, how they consistently are shining their lights. We have a prom in Columbus, Ohio, that we throw on. I think it's been 4 years that we've had it, 4 or 5 years. And we have a senior recognition that we honor the seniors, and they write up short bios, biographies of what they do, and some of these kids are, you know, they're in this group, they're in that group, you know, they're serving here, they're serving there, and it's amazing what our young people are doing. It's amazing the lights they are shining. You know, when I graduated from high school, my bio would have read, can bowl without using side guards. You know, can find Petra on a map. Occasionally combs his hair. You young people have so much to offer and so much to give to your local churches, to your communities. You know, I do, as I said earlier, I cherish the fact that I grew up in the church, and I hope each one of you cherish that fact, that you grew up, had the opportunity to grow up in the church of God. But you know, it's not been easy. God never promised, it's not in here where it's easy. It's not in here. But it's a good ride. It's exciting. You know, I'm not sure Jesus Christ had it too easy, if you want to read his story. But you know, growing up, my family, we experienced loss. You know, I've lost, when I was a young child growing up in the church, I lost family members, a couple sisters, and a brother. And that gave me motivation. That gave me the desire to be there at the resurrection. To be there to help them. You know, I lost an older brother, and I'm going to be way older than him when it's all said and done. But I want to be there. And all of us have lost loved ones, grandmothers, grandfathers. Be there for them. You know, we are picturing a time when pain, when sickness will go away. It will be gone. It will be eliminated. You know, my son, one of his best friends, is suffering from cancer right now. 23 years old, 24 years old. Wouldn't it be great to go over there and touch him and heal him? Young people, we're going to be able to do that. You're going to be able to do that. You know, sometimes our vision, we go through struggles, we go through trials. Our vision, like right now, it's a bit blurry. You know, we can't see things clearly. But you know, you get your nose back in the Bible, you study the scriptures, and you can see things clearly. You see God's way of life clearly. It's a vision that we have to hold on to. You know, I've had this vision since I was a young boy. Each one of you, old, young, if you don't have the vision, get it and hold on to it. It's a vision that keeps me going. You know, that vision is tied in very strongly, and it's the focal point. If you turn over to Matthew 6, and I'm sure most of you can know it's 33. Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus Christ is telling us not to let the cares of this world, the cares of college, of work, get in the way for his plan. Because he says, I'll take care of you. Back in verse 31, Jesus says, therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we should wear. We don't have to worry about those things if we seek the kingdom of God first and have him in our life, number one. You know, I've heard that some people set their clocks to 6:33 in the morning. They get up and I see 6:33. I tried that with Romans 8:28, but I kept going, I was a half hour late to work every day. So I switched it to 6:33. But you know, we all have a part in what God is doing. Each of us here is part of God's plan. You being here is no accident. God wants you here. He has a plan for you. He loves you. In Jeremiah 29:11, and this is out of the NIV, and I'll just read it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans for you. Whether you are 5 or 105, God has plans for you. He has a wonderful future in store for you. That's why he brought you here. He wants you to be here. He wants you to be part of his awesome, tremendous future. Having a vision of the future helps keep us going every day. No matter what happens, no matter what is going on in our lives, we have that vision. We have the meaning of these holy days in our minds. We have the meaning of this Feast of Tabernacles constantly in front of us. Please turn with me to Revelation 21. And I know this will be read again, but I can't help but use these scriptures. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is a vision that I hold on to, a vision of a world where God rules, a vision of a world without pain, without suffering, without death. That would be a wonderful, amazing world. I absolutely believe these scriptures. I know they are real. And I want to be there when this all happens. These scriptures are for us here. They're for the whole world. They give them They don't even know it yet, but it gives them hope. It will give them hope. I encourage you young people. I encourage everyone to catch the vision. Make the vision real in your life. Commit. Commit to come back next year to the Feast of Tabernacles. Commit to make this a part of your life. Do not let anything get in the way, because it's not worth it. Nothing is worth it. Catch the vision. It is there. It is real. And hold on to the vision.